Now, a pair of counties in West Central and Northwest Wisconsin have the worst vaccination rates in the state. That is Clark and Taylor counties, hovering at around 32% of residents who have received one dose of the COVID vaccine. How do low vaccination rates affect nearby hospitals? Are you concerned about a low vaccination rate where you live? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Healthcare team, be a part of it, 800-642-1234. Dale Husted is president of Aspirus Medford Hospital, a 25-bed nonprofit critical access hospital in Taylor County. Dale, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, Kate. It's good to be here.
Well, the latest count from the Wisconsin Hospital Association is that there are two free ICU beds available in North Central Wisconsin where you are. What is your hospital experiencing?
Well, we're seeing a higher inpatient census than we've typically had because we're seeing more COVID patients in our hospitals right now. Medford is certainly an example of that. We at Aspirus have 17 hospitals. We recently acquired a number of them earlier this summer. So all of our hospitals, I think, are experiencing that. And we're managing it okay, but certainly we think if we had more folks that were vaccinated, we probably would see fewer folks in the hospital.
We're hearing almost universally in healthcare of staffing shortages, of burnout. How are your staffing levels and morale?
Well, I think our staff are doing well. I think it's tough because, you know, we've now gone through this is the second surge that we're experiencing here, where we're seeing a higher increase in COVID patients in our hospital, and so I think it's hard whenever it's going on for a long time, like it has in this experience in this pandemic. Our inpatient units are not the only areas that are being affected. Certainly our ER and our clinics are also seeing a lot of patients, a lot more than normal. And so you are correct in that it's harder to recruit right now because there's just fewer folks in the pipeline. But the people that we have here are extremely committed and really very tough and very caring. And so they're hanging in there and doing a really nice job.
Taylor County, where you are, has the lowest vaccination rate in the state. Around 31% of adults have received one dose. Statewide, that figure is much higher. Are you surprised that Taylor and neighboring Clark County have the state's lowest vaccine rates?
Well, I don't know if I can state that I'm surprised that they're lower than others. I just took a quick look at our numbers very recently, and I think Taylor County now is at 35% and okay. Clark at 39%. So it may be that some folks are getting the message or have been taking care of themselves and masking and the like in order to try to avoid COVID. But the vaccination rate has gone up a little bit. You know, we have a lot of folks here that are pretty independent, and I think like everywhere, we get folks that get their information different places, and in some cases, misinformation. And so they maybe have not had an opportunity to really look in at credible sources of information to find out more about the vaccine.
I'm sure you've heard the phrase that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Do you see it that way?
You know, we're finding that that's really largely the case here as well. Vast, vast majority, almost all of the folks that we have that are inpatients with COVID are unvaccinated. And so our experience here is pretty much what you're hearing about in the news in terms of the type of patient we have.
Have you seen many breakthrough cases who are now in your hospital?
Well, speaking just of our place here in Medford, very, very little. But we have had patients that have been vaccinated. But boy, it's really a very, very small number.
PPE was in short supply at the start of the pandemic. Do you have enough of the protective equipment now?
We do, and I think our entire Aspirus system has done a really good job of managing that. We're managing it as a system rather than as individual hospitals, and that gives us a lot of strength and a lot of ability to be able to move supplies around as needed. And so at this point, one of the strengths that we have as a system that was, you know, we didn't really have an opportunity to be able to jump on at the very beginning of the pandemic is supplies. And so we're in very good shape in terms of PPE.
We're talking with Dale Husted, who is CEO of Aspirus Medford Hospital and Clinics in North Central Wisconsin. Are you reluctant to get vaccinated? Are you on the fence, or have you heard something that causes you to fear the COVID vaccine? Hospital workers, how are you managing this surge? Do you have open beds? It's 800-642-1234. We'll talk more ahead with Dale Husted here on the Ideas Network. Clark and Taylor counties have the lowest vaccination rates in the state. Nearby Buffalo County is battling critically high COVID spread. We're checking in with a 25-bed hospital in Medford, the county seat of Taylor County. Do you live in a rural community? Do you feel vaccine uptake is going about how you expected? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Join into the discussion, 800-642-1234. We have Dale Husted, CEO of Aspirus Medford Hospital and Clinics, who stays with us. You know, the Wisconsin Medical Society has urged healthcare employers to mandate the vaccine for its employees. Of course, now the mandate from the White House, get vaccinated or be tested regularly. Do you know what uptake is, the percentage who have, received the vaccine at your hospital?
Well, I don't have the exact number. I know that across our Aspirus system, the majority of our employees have received the vaccine. We continue to encourage our staff to get the vaccine, and we continue to offer opportunities for our staff on a regular basis. Kate, you had mentioned about recommendations, and I had read recently there are more than 50 healthcare organizations and specialty societies that have issued support for the COVID-19 vaccines, and that includes our own medical group, Aspirus Medical Group. So we are definitely proponents of getting the vaccine and keeping our people safe and our patients safe. And so we continue to move in that direction. But the majority of our staff have received the vaccine.
Is the mandate something that's been considered? Is it on the table?
Well, at Aspirus, we do not have a mandate that you have to have the vaccine right now. We have a couple of different options, and one of them is the vaccine. The other is a declination and some education that would go with that, as well as some regular testing that would have to occur for our employees. It isn't a surprise, and certainly if we have a mandate that's coming down from the state or from the federal government, that's going to change things because we lose control as a health system in terms of what we would want to do in working with our staff.
Well, let me ask you this. If a healthcare worker, a PA, a nurse, a physician, isn't vaccinated, how can they impress on their patients to get the shot?
Well, I think that's a really good point. I think when we talk about our medical staff, for example, that almost doesn't exist in our medical staff. Almost all of our members are vaccinated, so we don't have that kind of issue. But I point out real frequently that our organization is here to heal people and promote health, and it's really important for us to make sure that we're being safe and keeping our patients safe. And obviously, there are mandates about PPE and different kinds of PPE when you're with patients that would protect both our staff and our patients.
A number of people who are Amish live in your region of the state. What is being done to reach out to these communities about vaccines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a fairly high Amish and Mennonite population in Taylor County and Clark County, and that may very well be part of the reason that our vaccination rates are not as high. there's a tendency to for that population and not seek out vaccinations. You know, there's a lot of outreach going on. This is particularly true with our public health department in reaching out to that population and informing them and educating them about the need for the vaccination.
What public health outreach is working? Can you see results from in your community?
Well, we're doing trying to do a lot of reaching out in a grassroots way to our population and using our local media to try to help promote that as well. In a smaller rural area, an awful lot of what really is effective is people talking to other people, neighbors talking to neighbors, and we're really working hard at reaching out to encourage our people, our staff, and our other residents who are vaccinated to reach out and encourage those who aren't.
Talk with their neighbors. Dale, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. It's a pleasure to be able to share that with you.
Dale Husted, president of Aspirus Medford Hospital, a 25-bed nonprofit critical access hospital in Taylor County. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're with us for the morning show here on the Ideas Network. Now, about 60% of Americans approve of vaccine mandates for federal workers and private companies. That's from an Axios Ipsos poll in recent days. It comes after President Biden announced new vaccine requirements.
Many of us are frustrated with the nearly 80 million Americans who are still not vaccinated, even though the vaccine is safe, effective, and free.
How do you feel about the new vaccine and COVID testing mandate for companies of 100-plus employees? 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Diane Bierstecker is president of Human Resources Consulting, LLC, in Green Bay. Diane, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's good to be here.
Well, lay it out for us, if you will. What are the details of the vaccination and testing mandate that have been laid out by the White House?
Well, there's two sections to it, and President Biden rolled it out right after Labor Day. I'm sure the timing there was intentional. The first part is for government contractors, federal employees, and any entities in the healthcare system that receive funding from Medicare or Medicaid. And those at the federal level or the federal controlled level, it's mandatory that the vaccination take place. They don't have really any other option. So that's the most stringent rule that's been rolled out, and that's through an executive order.
And that's one piece of it. And what's the other piece?
And that's the other piece that we're dealing with our clients. And that's where Biden has directed the Department of Labor, which controls OSHA, to put into effect an emergency temporary standard, which requires companies that have at least 100 employees to either have all their employees vaccinated or to have a system in place that those employees who are not vaccinated are tested at least weekly.
What is the feedback there? What are you hearing from your clients and company leaders who are affected by this mandate?
Well, keep in mind that our company leaders are already struggling with the effect of COVID after almost 2 years, a worker shortage, supply chain shortages, and this is just one more heavy stone, you know, that's been placed on their backs. They're very concerned about it. They are struggling to get enough workers. The last thing they want to do is put another obstacle out there for a worker who wants to come in that has some type of objection to the vaccination. So there's a great deal of concern on the part of our clients in terms of how do we run our business, stay in compliance, and make sure then that we're doing the record keeping, we have a testing system in place, and, oh, by the way, Biden's plan requires that the companies pay for the time that's lost due to testing and time that might be lost if, you know, and a very small percentage of people might have a negative reaction or need some time to recover from the vaccination. And all of that's expected to be covered by private industry. So it's dramatic.
Companies absorbing those costs. And you touch on here putting these systems in place. What kind of preparations and work will this make for these private companies who are charged with putting these systems in place for compliance?
It's onerous. It really is, because now they have to have a system of documentation that the person has been vaccinated or the test results are coming in that need to be negative. So just setting up the system up for tracking it, the communication that's going to be required to the employees, there's both hard costs and soft costs that are significant for these companies. And I think one of the things that may happen, and again, in a very tight labor market, is you may see employees leaving larger companies to go to the smaller ones that aren't subject to this mandate, just to make life easier on the part of the employee. But that doesn't do anything for the 100 plus size employers out there.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Diane Bierstecker, who's president of Human Resources Consulting based in Green Bay, as we look at President Biden's vaccine mandates and how companies are reacting. Maybe you're putting a system in place at your company. 800-642-1234 to join in. So, Diane, how would you suggest employee medical information and privacy matters be handled around this mandate?
Well, one of the requirements is under HIPAA, which is the federal law that has the medical privacy built into it, is to keep those records separate. So my recommendation is that everyone have both the standard HR file where they keep the normal documents, but then that they have a separate medical file that they're maintaining for their employees so that information does not get commingled.
Can OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, can OSHA realistically enforce the broad scope of this mandate with about 100 million workers included? What will enforcement look like?
Well, enforcement could come either from a random check. They haven't determined yet how they're going to go out and do that. But there's also the possibility that there's going to be whistleblowers that will be calling in, and those whistleblower alerts of possible violation would certainly take precedence. And the fines are pretty hefty. If they determine, OSHA determines that a 100 plus employer company is not following this emergency temporary requirement that's out there, the penalty is $13,653 per violation per day. That would bring many companies to their knees if they end up being found in violation. So it's, you know, certainly the Department of Labor and OSHA were beefed up during the Trump administration. There's a lot more employees that are out there able to, employees of OSHA that are able to go out there and do these inspections. So I think it's a very real threat and possibility that, you know, doors are going to be knocked on relatively quickly. Now, this is scheduled to go into effect through OSHA once it gets published in the Federal Register, which probably has at least a 6-month window before that happens. And during that time, They're going to be taking public commentary. Certainly expect that public interest groups are going to get involved.
So there's that bureaucratic process that goes to getting it on the record. Let's bring in a call now. Kevin in Janesville. Kevin, hi, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I'd like to bring up, yes, I'm trying to respect the onus and the cost to the businesses for these mandates, but let's not forget to weigh the costs against another potential shutdown when the Delta variant starts getting even worse, or maybe even a new variant beyond that. Thank you very much.
Kevin, thank you for bringing up that point. Diane.
Yes, that it's a very valid point that Kevin's brought up. How do you find this right balance between protecting our workers, having reasonable costs in place, and being able to serve our customers? And that's a very delicate balance that companies have been dealing with for already over the last 2 years. And now this third component has been put on there, and it's going to be incredibly difficult. The business owners are already struggling.
What?
And this is one more thing. Yes, they have absolutely an obligation to try to protect the health of their employees as much as they can and stop the spread. But a lot of things have to be weighed in that balance.
Diane, what kinds of vaccine exemptions will HR managers of private companies need to anticipate and deal with?
It's the typical accommodations that are required under federal law, and that is either that there's a personal medical condition that prevents someone from getting a vaccine, or a religious exemption. So those are the two concerns that employers could be faced with. And then those would need to be documented very carefully in light of the OSHA requirements, so that if someone knocks on your door, you do have the information that says, here's the list of all of our employees that are vaccinated, or the testing schedule. And here's the group that have been granted an accommodation that allows them to go without being vaccinated.
Very quickly, will remote work complicate this? What does it mean for employees who never have in-person contact with coworkers because they're 100% remote?
At this point, the information that I've seen is that the remote workers would be exempt from this as long as they are truly remote. They're not reporting into a central facility. They're not going out on sales calls. They're not interacting with other company employees. If they're basically encapsulated in their home, truly remote using technology, at this point, it's believed that they are going to be exempt.
Diane, thank you for joining us.
You are most welcome. I'm glad to be here. I always enjoy participating in your show, Kate.
Appreciate it. Diane Bierstecker, President of Human Resources Consulting in Green Bay. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.